Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Josh Feinberg is here, too, because he's got some good information for us. Josh is the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know, 101 Money-Saving Secrets of Expensive Techies. I should say, I'll get it out in a minute. And Josh is an outstanding expert, a world-class expert, internationally known as a small business technology expert. He also is a speaker, a coach, a trainer, as I mentioned earlier, an author. Many of you have seen his columns around in various publications. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's our good friend Joshua. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Joshua, you were talking, I know you want to talk today about what you call small business projects, technology that turned bad. The projects that had so much hope at one time, but now they're basically just shelfware. Now, how do we get ourselves into these kinds of situations?
Well, what happens is that most of the time, the small business owner or the small business manager, that's usually the person. Thing is, in a small company, it's usually a non-technology person championing these types of projects. Where in a larger company, there's usually someone who's either an IT manager, an MIS manager, or something like that. So the small business owner or manager gets involved, and they look at these things necessary evil rather than going and looking at them as an opportunity to put some leverage behind something that's going on in the business or gain a competitive edge. Really, the best solution usually for this is to look around at what others are doing in your industry. Make sure when you go to conferences and read your industry trade publications and magazines and spy on others that are doing similar that have similar kinds of businesses and you're around the country to see what they're doing with technology first.
Yeah, and there are two things, Joshua, that I've been talking to my audience about as much as possible, and that is two ways to think of technology. One is to find the technologies that will make your current systems, the current things you're doing, more efficient. And the other is to, and you used the word leverage a minute ago, that's a great word to use when you're thinking about technology, to use technology to leverage a possible opportunity.
And yeah, that's really important.
And so in a small business, a lot of times, maybe depending on how small it is, if it's not tiny, like one person, you know, maybe the accounting department or the purchasing department has been to a conference or something, and they found some technology that would make their life easier, and maybe they're asking for that kind of technology, something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It should really always be driven by business needs. It should never be, gee, I found this cool piece of hardware or software or this online service. Let's figure out a way to use it. It always should be driven by a business problem. And what's interesting, too, is you mentioned the size issue, because one of the things that we talk about, we train spend most of our time training computer consultants that service small businesses at Computer Consulting 101. And what we tend to do is divide small businesses up into three categories: micro small businesses, those that have less than 5 or 10 computers, those that have less than 5 or 10 employees, what we call sweet spot small businesses. Those have anywhere from 10 to 50 employees, 10 to 75 employees, somewhere in that category. And then once you get larger than that, where there's more than 50 or 75 systems, it starts to be a larger small business, because at that size, you almost have to bring in a full-time computer support person or a small department. It's a whole different ballgame. And what these micro small businesses tend to do, they're really small businesses. They'll get by using volunteers, moonlighters, someone that can come in maybe not till a week from Saturday, but hey, the cost is either free or dirt cheap, so it kind of works. Once you get to the point that there's more than 5 or 10 systems, then you tend to need to run things a little more professionally. You need to be a little more concerned with protecting your data and security and backing things up and keeping the systems up and running. And that's at the stage where you almost always need to look for an outside firm to do that kind of thing for you.
Well, let's assume that the larger companies have not only the people, maybe the internal people, to manage this, but they actually have the budget to do it right. It seems to me that the people who we need to be helping are the ones with that are in that the first, maybe in probably somewhat the second category, where there isn't a person designated to be the IT expert, And maybe they don't know who could be an outside expert. Maybe, you know, this, it's not like everybody knows exactly who can come and help them with these things. But it seems to me that there are two issues here, Josh. You help me if I'm wrong here. One is making sure that if you start a new tech project, that it actually is something that is what you need. You got to qualify the thing first. That's got to be first, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything should always be driven by business needs, understanding what the problem is in your company, understanding what you want to achieve. And that's part of the reason why, if you're looking for outside help as an alternative to putting someone full-time on payroll to do these kinds of things, what you really should be looking for is not just the techie, not just a technician or system engineer or something like that. You really want to look for either an individual or a company that can take over as your part-time IT department, your part-time information technology department. And essentially what they become is like your virtual computer department, your virtual what's called a CIO, Chief
Right.
Information Officer, because that person or that company is going to think strategically. They're not going to just be thinking about replacing hard drives or replacing power supplies or connecting routers or setting Wi-Fi up or something like that. You really want them to be looking at the big picture problems and strategizing with you, both when they start out the relationship and several times a year, to make sure they really understand your business needs and what needs to be solved by using and applying technology intelligently.
Well, one of the things, you know, we're in the somewhere between the first and the second category there that you mentioned earlier, as far as size is concerned. And one of the things that I try to do whenever we think we need some help or we see something that might look promising, is we try to ask around, and we ask the people who support us with our external technology experts. We ask them, you know, what do you know about this? And we tell them about what our ideas are and what our needs are. And we get those guys to make sure, because a lot of times, invariably, Josh, what happens is I'll come up with something. I'll say, look, I've seen this thing, and I think this may be what I need. And they'll invariably will say, you know what, that's a good place to start, but that we actually know of something better than that.
Yeah,
and if it hadn't been for that phone call, if it hadn't been for that question, I might have bought the wrong thing.
Excellent point is to make sure you always use your technology provider, consulting firm, or integrator as a sounding post for that kind of thing. And actually, there's a section in the What Your Consultant book on that, is making sure that you really bring them into the process and they become your tire kickers. What they should really be doing is they should be looking at your wish list. You come back from a trade show, you get this direct mail piece, oh, this thing looks awesome, so you pass it on to your technology consultants. What they should be doing first is they should get an evaluation of the product or copy loaded up in their lab in a controlled environment, kick the tires for a couple hours,
right,
and then tell you whether to move forward or not. Because once they've looked at it from a technology standpoint, now it's time for you to look at it to see how it fits into your business.
Stand by, Josh. Josh Feinberg, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. 20 after, we'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. You can find Joshua Feinberg on our website, too, in our Brain Trust section, and his last name is Feinberg, Joshua Feinberg. Josh, give us your website, please.
Best website for your listeners would be to go to PCSupportTips.com, PCSupport Tips, PCSupportTips.com. That's got a lot of about 101 different tips that you can use on hardware, software, and data protection to get more out of your technology. It has a lot of things that are excerpted from the What Your Computer Consultant book.
Outstanding. And the book is called What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. And where is it available there on the website?
Yes, it is.
And they can find it also where other places where books are sold?
Yeah, it's also available on Amazon.
Amazon. All right. Joshua Feinberg. And, Josh, one of the things we were talking a minute ago, folks, we're talking about how to prevent failed technology projects in your business. One of the things that I wanted to add on to what we said is before we went to the break about me calling my tech experts and saying, hey, guys, you know, this is what we need to do. I found this one piece, this one program, this one hardware, whatever. And you know, what do you think? And invariably, as I said, they have a better idea because they follow these things more than I do. But the other advantage to that is, if they're the ones I've got to rely on to keep this stuff working, they're going to come a lot nearer being motivated to do that if it was kind of their idea, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And what can happen at times is if the small business owner or manager or CFO or accounting manager or sales manager, if they're the ones pushing really hard for a solution and they haven't gotten buy-in, it's kind of like if you were in a larger company and marketing or finance or accounting does their own thing and kind of does an end run around the IT department, you really have to think of your technology. And that's why all of these things started with G. You know, we've had this contact management program for years, but the limitation is we have people working in the field and out in branch offices and they can't get at the data. What should we do? Going out and trying to find. And what really has to happen is your technology consulting company that you're working with should go in and look at the solution and figure out how it fits in with what you already own. And then they'll come up with a little plan for what it's going to take to implement it and the cost and everything like that. And that should happen even before you start testing it internally. There's really two different types of tests. There's looking at it from a technology standpoint and looking at it from the standpoint of how does it solve business problems. And they really should go in that order. If you skip either one of them, it can be pretty painful later on.
Well, and you never want to hear these words spoken by your tech expert, folks. Oh, geez, I wish you'd called me before you did all this. You don't want to hear those words.
And you don't want to hear it's not my job either. You really need someone who becomes your part-time IT department, who becomes your part-time information technology department. You need someone who takes responsibility for everything from dealing with the phone company to dealing with your ISP, your web host, the software vendor, the hardware vendor, the niche software vendor. You need someone who can coordinate anything and everything having to do with your technology. If you're not getting that, you should look for someone else, because as a small business owner, you're not going to have time to deal with the finger pointing and the ping pong ball that goes back and forth, and it'll drive you crazy. You need someone who can really take ownership of the whole problem.
And you know, go ahead, Josh.
And generally, the best way to do that is people in your industry and your trade groups to locate technology firms that understand your kind of business.
And you know, Josh, if you're a small firm and you're only going to have somebody, you know, a handful of times a year, and on an erratic basis, and they can't count on your business to make their living, when those people come and they give you the bill, you know, let's say it's an individual that you know, it's not, they're not part of a larger company or anything, pay them a little extra. Give them a little bit extra, and I don't even want to call it a tip. Just pay them a premium for being available to you, and it'll do two things. Number one, it's what you ought to do to help make these people available to you. And number two, it'll let them know that you really appreciate them being available, even though you're not a big customer. Josh, what do you think about that idea?
That's an okay idea, but what we usually call those kind of technology providers is future customers of ours for our training at computer.
Well, I know.
The difficult part is when people go from being technology people, techies working for a larger company to being self-employed, a lot of times they don't look at what their expenses are in their overhead and underestimate, and they end up charging rates that just really aren't sustainable. But it's really, from the small business owner's perspective, it's really painfully expensive to have to start over. So I usually tell people to make sure that your technology consultant not only fits in with your management and your staff, has good personality chemistry, but you want to make sure that their business is solid, because if their price or rates are just too good to be true, they probably are. And their skills and their confidence, that may be a business model problem as well. So you want to make sure when you're looking at hiring the right kind of person that you interview them and check the references. But by getting multiple price quotes, by talking to a couple different people before you make a decision, you'll start to get a feel for what's too low, what's in the middle of the range, and what's too high.
What should we be paying?
In most national average, it depends on the size of the company. If you're just looking for if you have a really tiny micro business, or a home-based business or something like that, $75, $85 an hour should bring you someone who's extremely well-skilled in most metro areas around the country. If you need someone who's got good skills to manage a client-server network and understands firewalls and virtual private networking and relational databases, be thinking more in the $100, $125 an hour range. In terms of how often you should see that person, we usually advise the consultants that we train to look for small businesses that need someone to come in about once a month.
Right.
You
might even want to schedule these people every month or two, folks, just to have them available, even if you don't know you're going to need them yet. Joshua Feinberg, thanks for being here. Good job.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know, that's his book. quick break. Right back with Steve Chandler. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.